Honorable member, we are here, we honorable member. We had to wait for those who are coming to make a presentation. And that's not acceptable at all. It eats into our precious time. People are very busy, very hectic time. So next time when we agree on time, please keep that time. This parliament, it represents you. And you want to see your parliament functioning effectively and efficiently. If not, you are the first to complain. Assist us to function. Also, you are not the only group presenting today, as you know. There will be another presentation that might involve some of you again. So we'll eat into that time. And Parliament is on recess. Members must be attending to a million other things in their constituencies. So we also, I guess, eating into some of their flight time as we start late. I take this opportunity to welcome you. And we'll ask you to introduce yourselves so that we know who you are. And our honorable members will also make it possible for you to know them. You're welcome. Start on that note.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Member. I take seriously the correction that has been given, and
I apologize unconditionally.
My name is Kwezi Gambumlwana. I serve as Chief Executive Officer of the Nelson Mandela Museum in Mthatha, Kunu, and Mvezo. I'm traveling with my colleagues, the Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Mdlodlo, the Senior Manager for Marketing, Ms. Tetani, and the Senior Manager for Programs, Mr. Solani, and the Museum's Accountant, Ms. Mashalama. I think they finally they're away within Parliament. But I've got the presentation, and they are familiar with it, and they will assist with most of the questions, if there are any. I would like permission to proceed.
Thank you. Maybe we'll the honorable members will introduce themselves when the full team is here. Honorable members, we allow him to proceed. Thank you. Please do.
Okay. While that happens, I'd like to briefly explain that.
And how much time will you need to complete your presentation, all of it?
Would 22 minutes be in order, Chairman?
What?
Would 22 minutes be acceptable to yourself?
Yeah, even 25.
Oh,
I've added 3 minutes of grace.
Thank you. whilst we're waiting for the technology to come right, I'd like the Nelson Mandela Museum was opened in February 2000. In Mthatha, Kunu, and Mvezo. Initially, at Kunu and Mvezo, there was no operations. We had to build from scratch. And the Punga building, which was the previous Transkei Legislative Assembly, was adapted for use as a museum, which presented a number of challenges because, as honorable members may have heard from other museums, there are a number of specialized requirements that go with adapting a building for museum purposes. Currently, the museum operates from two of its sites, Punga and Kunu. And We believe that we are in an environment that's soaked in the memories and symbols that point to the past, present, and future of Mr. Mandela's long walk to freedom. Embedded in these footprints are the values of Ubuntu, integrity, inspiration, listening, learning, and development. If we do our work well, the museum will hopefully inspire new and future generations to stay in touch with their past, to act and be informed in terms of their consciences and be inspired by the work that Mr. Mandela represents. The museum's journey and the story of Mr. Mandela in the authentic landscape of his beginnings and the landscape that we think he loves best is that kind of opportunity and responsibility. So that's where we're operating from, and that's what we're trying to do. Last year, we were here under very different circumstances. We had two consecutive audit reports that were very bad. We were in a bad situation. We had had a situation of a number of months without a board, without an audit committee at that time, and things were not going right. With the new board that was appointed and with management, we had pledged to turn the situation around. We had also promised the honorable members that we will turn the situation around. And we're proud that now we're able to be presenting an annual report in circumstances where the Auditor General gives us a clean report. There were a number of things that had to be attended to to be able to get that right. We're also coming at a time when we had promised to change the old exhibitions that were in the Bunga building. We've done that. We have now three new exhibitions. But at year end, we had delivered two out of the three that we had planned for. So we're in a situation of presenting a completely new, or the same message in new forms, and in better organized forms and a better experience for our visitors. When the images come right, I'll be able to show some sense of our landscape, but I do hope honorable members will make time one day to visit the museum, far as it is. Our outgoing chairperson explained a number of years ago that in 2008, 2009, and I quote, the Nelson Mandela Museum must achieve an unqualified audit report. Financial statements, financial systems and policies must be improved. New exhibitions that focus on Nelson Mandela must be developed as a replacement of the original ones. A reference library with all books from all countries owned and by Mr. Mandela in all languages must start to be established. The renewal of the museum building and improving staffing capacity with additional appointments, including chief operations officer and a curator, must happen. Now, most of these have happened. The library is not completely established, I must report, but a number of all the South African titles that are in print, we've acquired them. A number of embassies have pledged to donate as what the outgoing chairperson, Professor Asman, had returned to them. The renewal of the Bunga building is on course, in the sense that the National Department of Arts and Culture has gone beyond pledging money, has now enabled the Department of Public Works to appoint consultants or the architects, and phase one has started with the appointment of the contractors to do emergency work dealing with security and dealing with occupational and health and safety matters. The additional appointments as the subject of the future budget, so it's not yet done, but all the others are generally in place. To continue from what the chairperson, Professor Asmal, talked about, there was the issue of ensuring that the 90th birthday of Mr. Mandela is marked in a memorable way. That there must be, there had to be year-long celebrations of Mr. Mandela's birthday that allow all South Africans, not only those in the immediate reach of the museum, to experience this. And that was delivered, and a number of media channels were used, and we actually held activities in other parts of the country, including here in Cape Town. Three new exhibitions had to be mounted, and as I mentioned, two were able to be completed on time. A number of seminars and a big colloquium in partnership with the University of Fort Hare was held in East London, exploring the interpretation of the life and work of Mr. Mandela. In the promises that I made to the board, with the management, and to the people of South Africa, we would implement a governance improvement program that would ensure a clean audit report. What we did, we took all the issues that the Auditor General had raised, and we proposed action items of what we would do and what help we would need from the board to be able to clear those things up. And then we had promised to undertake the year-long celebrations of the 90th birthday, in a way that ensures broad participation and access to the lessons of Mr. Mandela's life and work, and to launch the three exhibits to restart the process of the Bunga building renewal. Because that's a process that had been tortured and that had really taken an unacceptably long time. We promised to assist in reviewing the strategic directions and prepare a new strategic framework for adoption by Council, which after interrogation they did. And we'd also promised to launch a national liberation route with our partners, which also was successfully done. To be able to do some of these things, we had to get interim additional support for the CFO's office, because the issue of capacity within finance department, in our case, and I think in many institutions of our type, to be able to comply with the stringent requirements of the CFMA, is a matter we take seriously. It's a matter that sometimes presents enormous difficulties, especially when one has to deal with this thing of segregation of duties and keeping up to date with the changing accounting standards. So there had to be investment in external service providers to assist us come up to speed, to catch up with all the backlog that was in place at that time. The upgrade, as I've mentioned, is firmly in place. We had to do numerous interactions with our department and with Public Works to ensure that the upgrade that gets done takes into serious account the proper requirements of the of a museum building as it's intending to be. And then one of the major concerns that had always get mentioned next to our name, because of the incident that had happened in 2000 when the museum did not have a full-time administration, was operated from Pretoria. Those two items that had been stolen and have yet never been recovered. So security has always been an important element to management and to all the different councils that have come in. And even in the period under review, we took additional steps to strengthen the security of the museum in terms of systems, in terms of physical security, and also appointing a very competent manager for security who's also participating in government security managers forums in different ways. And so this saw us revamp the CCTV systems, this saw us revamp the physical security and a bit of the access controls without making the museum inaccessible. The governance improvement program, I can go into detail when asked about it, but essentially, as I said, we took each of the issues of the Auditor General had raised and then put in place actions and responsibilities, who will do what by when. And then there was the issue of strengthening the organizational capacity long term, and which is why our council wrote to the department to ask that the situation where since establishment there's never been adequate capacity for all of the posts that have been identified to be addressed, even if incrementally, so that in all the things that we have to have capacity. Audit committee with an audit charter, a new internal auditor that was very competent, with good oversight from the audit committee were in place, additional members into council were added to address any of the areas that council was not necessarily strong when initially appointed, and a number of related things within government. Under human resources matters, the report, which I have noticed that honorable members have, the major issues related to training and development, strengthening our recruitment and selection and try to be representative across the country. And we have, our statistics in terms of men and women representation and African representation are very good. We've re-looked some of the policies, there's been organizational development processes in place, and one of the major issues was to address the whole thing of the performance management system, and that was made a priority for the new financial year. Luckily, I'm not representing on it, but we've made progress with a new performance management system adopted and the policy and related issues. And the statutory workplace skills plan was submitted and used. Marketing highlights. I've talked about the 90th birthday of Mr. Mandela, which was a year-long phenomenon, and we're using this to make accessible the experience of the museum, the message of the museum. Some of the highlights there included being able to launch an exhibition on Mr. Mandela, on children's letters to Mr. Mandela and Mrs. Parks, jointly with the Michigan State University and the Nelson Mandela Foundation. And this featured messages by then Senator Obama and President Mandela and the Archbishop Tutu, talking about the importance of that work that we're doing. I will leave copies of the DVD that's associated with that activity after the presentation. The museum participates annually, and it did in the year under review as well, in the tourism in Durban, that's held annually in Durban. And this has resulted in the increase of tour operators who package the museum to about 50. And this is very, very important for a museum that's well located in terms of being able to be understood and to reach international tourists, who are an important component of our visitorship, whereas the majority of our visitors is domestic and local visitors. In the year under review, new signage was commissioned with the help of the Eastern Cape Tourism Board, and we remain the most visited museum in the region. See, now I would be showing a picture of a press conference that was held in here in Cape Town with our board members talking about the year-long celebrations, if technology was right. But I will leave a... In fact, there is a copy of it in the presentation that honorable members have. The next section deals with pictures of people viewing the letters exhibition that is located at our site in Hulu. And I see one of the people there is a member of this parliament. And the next page deals with Mr. Mandela and Mrs. Michelle visiting on the third day after the exhibit was launched, in a number of our promotional materials. In the core of our work is the programming, the preservation of the gifts that were given to Mr. Mandela, the presentation of the different heritage resources so that people understand and interact with the message. And so there is an exhibition, a leadership institute, where a number of youth camps are held to look at the story of how does the story of Mr. Mandela relate to leadership today and in the future. And in the period under review, an artist in residence program was also held, and a visiting artist Walter Simpson from Aruba conducted workshops with local unemployed youth. And a number of outreach programs were implemented, including one that is called Connecting Classrooms, which works with South African educators and educators from the Commonwealth. It's an initiative that we do in partnership with the British Council. And then under the program Intellectual Agenda, two seminars and a colloquium were held in that period. I've talked about security. I've mentioned the strengthening of the physical security, but also was zoned in on the issue of vetting so that we eliminate service providers that might not be appropriate, and also to improve disclosure and non-disclosure requirements, so that information that should not go out about prices of things does not go out, or people make the pledges in writing that they will not do so. So if we catch them, we deal with it. And also disclosures in terms of us being able to anticipate conflicts of interest and others, anything like that, should that occur. Was zoned in on the area of occupational health and safety with the election of health and safety stewards, the relevant committees, and also putting in place measures that comply with the what you call. So we believe we're on course to realize the major priorities set by Council for the coming period based on the progress we've made so far in improving governance, in becoming an important center for community cultural life, in renewing museum facilities, and reaching more diverse audiences. But we cannot emphasize enough the need to recapitalize the museum.
We also want to emphasize that you're left with 10 minutes.
Thank you very much. I'm past halfway. This thing of recapitalization, I know it appears in annual report after annual report. I know it's difficult when we raise it in a time of recession. Ask honorable members, department, and everybody else to remember that. Museum was established initially as a phase one exercise with very modest interim staffing arrangements, with an anticipation that when a proper business plan is done and clear what operations will put in place, the capacity to activate the various areas would follow. And this has not followed as well as it should have. And this continues to have impact in a number of areas. So we're always making do with much more less, because everybody is making do with less. In 2010, the museum will complete its first decade. By this time, we'll have renewed the exhibitions, the offerings, we'll have established phase one of the reference library, the quality of governance arrangements would still be as improved as it is. Hopefully by then a new board will have been appointed by the department, because the term of office of the last one ended in September. The museum would have become more visible, more accessible, and the upgrade of the building would have begun, because as I mentioned, the contractors who are addressing the urgent security and the safety matters are in place already. In the annual report that is before the honorable members, the AG says that, in his opinion, the financial statements present fairly in all material respects the financial position of the Nelson Mandela Museum as of 31 May, and its financial performance and cash flows. We're very heartened to be able to see that report. I know that it's supposed to be a normal thing, but it had taken a lot of effort and resources to get those kinds of things right. I must hasten to add, there are issues in the report where we talk about irregular expenditure that we disclosed, and it's largely related to a situation where there's been a long outstanding security tender matter whose term had expired, and we could not sit in a situation where we would not have a security company in place. And the cost and the processes of putting in place an interim one whilst we're sorting out the tenders, would not have been more beneficial than the risk of continuing and having a clean and proper tender once and for all. And when council came in, they reviewed the process and the tender had to be reissued. So there was that period where that situation had continued, which had arisen in the prior years. But then, at the end of it all, we had a good company in place and a clean process, and were really happy with the decision that council had made. The bit of financial information, it covers a number of pages in the annual report. But essentially, what they've tried to do with the colleagues is to show a comparison between the other year and the year ended 2009. And I would like to zone in on the operating expenditure. I know there's issues of reserve. Okay, let me start with the reserve. Even though there might be questions later on, these relate largely to project funds whose execution depended on certain prerequisites having to be in place before you do it correctly. And as much as that picture is like that now, it doesn't look good. In the current financial year, which we're not reporting on, but we've used up 5.2 of that amount. It's important to refer to it. Those related to money that was set aside to do exhibitions, and because we didn't always have enough capacity to go into partnership or do other additional arrangements. I want to quickly go to the last graph, the operating expenditure. Of that, 58% is on core operating business, and less than 25% is on staffing. CFO is here. He will be able to give some of the details, and we will back him up if it's needed. But I thought we should highlight that, the issue that I've highlighted. We talked about an 81.5% increase on the expenditure in the year ended 2009 compared to the year ended 2008. There needs to be a lot of work done to improve the baseline funding of the museum. Because
how much time is the CFO going to need?
No, he won't present. We will only deal with the questions that the honorable members may have.
Okay, because you're left with five now.
Okay, thank you very much. This is information direct from the annual report. I won't read through it, but what we present there is a statement of financial position of the museum, basically. And then we talk about the museum's current liabilities and commitments. And then I want to pause the honorable members and then listen to questions, if any. And my colleagues that I introduced in their absence here when they were still maneuvering the building.
Okay, we'll proceed in this way. Just introduce the rest of the team. Members of the rest of the team, this committee is not excited by this kind of late coming. We must respect Parliament and the committees. Time is precious. So next time, don't make the same mistake. Members were here. They waited. I waited before we could start, and we started with one person, and the rest of you come some 30 minutes later. It's completely unacceptable. Introduce your team, and then honorable members are not top secret people. They'll also introduce themselves so that you know them. You have elected them. It's important that you know them. Proceed with your team.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. On my immediate left is Ms. Tetani. She is the senior manager for marketing and communication. And next to her is Ms. Nokuzola Mashalaba. She's the museum's accountant. And then on her right is Mr. Mfuneko Mdlodlo. He's the chief financial officer. And behind, at the back...
Just to raise your hand, there are several people at the back.
It's Mr. Solani. He is the senior manager for programs. He's responsible for core business and the work we do on curating and programs with young people and education. Thank you very much.
Honorable members, we'll move clockwise. Maybe before that, Secretary, introduce yourself and your team.
My name is Susanne. I'm the Secretary of the Committee. This is Bawa. She is assisting me for this meeting. And that is the lady with a yellow top. She is Baba Luanzanga. She is the Executive Secretary to the Chairperson. Next to him is Mr. Welile Frengu. He is in the...
Raise your hand, please.
In the office of the Director General of the Department of Arts and Culture. Thank you.
Thank you, honorable members. We'll move clockwise. I'm Chenwani Farisan, chairing this Portfolio Committee on Arts and Culture. Thank you.
Chair, my name is Desiree van der Walt. I'm from the DA and from Bobo Group.
Good morning. I'm Annelie Lortet, also DA.
This is Dorim Rutwa from the African National Congress. I'm from Kauti.
Muntu Mumalo from the African National Congress. I'm from Gauteng.
I'm Peter Marileka from the African National Congress and also from Gauteng.
I'm Yunus Nyalongo from African National Congress. I'm from Mpumalanga. Thank you.
Thank you very much, honorable members. And the rest, our guests. May we know you, please, just first. Beginning, there's another person who was not in front. Introduce yourself. Thank you very much. Your turn is coming. Honorable members, questions are welcome. Let's take a maximum of 2 questions per person, and you'll have another bite and another bite. Honorable Lotrit.
Thank you, Chair. I would just like to go back to the irregular and unauthorized expenditure. Perhaps just more clarity. You referred to the security company. Was that related to the irregular or the unauthorized expenditure? And then linked to that, do you now have systems in place in terms of unauthorized expenditure that an amount of more than almost 2 million can be expended without authorization?
Does that exhaust your question? Another question? Honorable van der Walt.
Chair, allow me to congratulate the CEO with this report. I think he knew very well that we were going to be quite upset after the last 2 years if they didn't come up with this report. So congratulations to that. Of course, once one reaches this achievement, you've got to stay there, which is almost a bigger challenge than getting there. I'm interested in your starting off, you said something about Mr. Mandela and for people to remember the past. I know you also do focus on the future, and I would suppose that a museum that carries the name of such a big man as Mr. Mandela has a lot to offer on nation building and set the example of the history that you present at that museum to the future of this country. What exactly are the projects you have to use Mr. Mandela to ensure that you also contribute to nation building in this country and not just stay in the past of that history, which we all adore and we all accept and appreciate and acknowledge. But I'm very interested to see how you use this for the benefit of the whole country. And also the issue on the Heritage Route project. I did see you close the project office. So I'm very keen to see exactly what are the current status of that project. How is it going? Thank you.
You will take 5-6 questions and then you will respond. Next question, please. Honorable Mullah.
Thanks. The 90th birthday celebration that you had, which you said was such a success, are you going to continue with this on an annual basis? I want to link this with a question raised by Honorable Van der Waald regarding our challenges with social cohesion and nation building. But I think you also mentioned that you would like to attract diverse audiences. I just want to find out whether or not we do have a program that would include school children, especially young children. And I think that would also partly address the question of what are we doing for the future. You know, where you will have children from different backgrounds, mixed groups, racially that is, to come and learn about the legacy of Tati Mandela.
Thank you very much. I think at the center of these questions of social cohesion and nation building is how do we use that Mandela's heritage to go on building a rainbow nation of all our peoples. Another question. It's not a question, that one. I'm just commenting. Honorable.
Thank you, Chairperson. My question is involvement of the community of Mvezo, Nekumu, could be involved Kangaranani, could do the project, could the museum, and could Kangara. There's any thing, Omama, in that community, have I benefited as Bethlehi Pa Emakaya? That's my only question. Thank you, Chairperson.
All 11 official languages can be used in this portfolio committee, but because we don't have interpretation mechanisms, could someone just summarize that question for the benefit of all?
Chair, could we perhaps leave the interpretation, and then when the CEO responds, because he'll be responding in English, and then we'll all follow, so that we save time, because you were a bit worried about time.
I disagree completely with whoever would disagree with you. We'll proceed that way. Another question? For now, we'll handle what we have. Proceed. How you share and divide the questions is up to yourselves.
The unauthorized and irregular expenditure in this particular case don't relate to the same thing. In the irregular expenditure, the one area related to the fact that the cleaning and security tender were paid in spite of their period being over whilst the new tender had not kicked in. And then there was also an issue of leave provision and leave pay where the Auditor General had a different interpretation of how the policy should have been phrased and applied. And so to the extent that the provision and the pays that were in place at the time were not in alignment with the recommendations from the AG, all those expenditures were grouped together as irregular. The unauthorized expenditure, on the other hand, related largely to activities associated with the 90th birthday celebrations. And then on some instances, they related to activities where a program would go over budget than what is provided for. And the underlying reason for that related to the fact that our cash flows, our cash flow reporting and analysis was very far behind schedule. And so one of the things that were introduced in a much robust way by the then incoming council was to strengthen the cash flow reporting and to try and improve the turnaround time for when the expenditure analysis is done. And this had been linked very badly to the capacity issue because we needed to have appointed a financial controller or equivalent capacity to be able to do that. Now, one has finally been appointed only in the new financial year. And so, yes, that was the underlying reason. And so the measures were to improve the staffing. But also what we've done is to address it at a technology level so that less of the work is done manually. The liberation route. This initiative, the museum started it because we realized we needed to be part of a wider network of sites that deal with similar or related subjects. Because if we try to go it alone with our kind of isolation, it was not going to be sustainable. But also because at a philosophical level, Mr. Mandela always emphasizes that he was not alone. Now, however, it's a project that's bigger than us in scope and subject. So once it was at a point where it could be taken over, council reviewed the continuation of the project. So now it continues under the auspices of the National Heritage Council, who are the national coordinating body for heritage and have got the reach and the ability to talk to any district, any province, anywhere in the country. And so it's continuing. It's on the tentative list of the World Heritage processes. And some of our sites would be part of that network. I would like Mr. Solani, who is responsible for programs, to assist me in terms of the activities that we do to promote social cohesion that look in the past and in the future, and the whole thing about children's activities and diversity. Communities of Kunu and Mvezo, local communities do benefit, especially in Kunu and in Mtata, in different kinds of ways. But the larger benefit is long-term
for museum and cultural entities rather than the short-term jobs that get created. But these are very, very important, and also the opportunity to access this kind of education. For all sorts of reasons that have been referred to the National Department of Arts and Culture and the Minister, the board took a decision to defer operations at Umvelo until those issues are resolved. And we are hopeful that the situation will turn there as well. But at Kono, we're quite confident. One of the activities that are in place is an Itemba craft project, which we've been enabled to deliver it in partnership with the Eastern Cape government and the government of Lower Saxony. The skills program, they produce different kinds of crafts and sell them at the museum shop and to visitors, basically. Yeah, and Mr. Sulani, could you please assist me in terms of the program's work?
One of the questions that was raised by the members of Commerce, how do we use the Mandela name for nation building? And the second one was related to that in terms of the year-long celebrations that we had, and how do school children benefit? I think I will take those questions as like one question and summarize them for time purposes. Now, in the institution, council approved what we called nation building youth camps. Now, we do these nation building youth camps in partnership with Robben Island Museum, and we also do them alone. So in the nation youth building youth camps, what we do, we select particular themes that are focused on issues of nation building, and we address those. Now, for the past years, the people that we attracted came from a particular group. But in the past 2 years, we've managed to attract in our winter schools that are held annually at Kono. We've managed to attract people, school children from all the 9 provinces of the Republic of South Africa. And last year, we had an interesting winter school that focused, that used arts as a form of nation building. And the only province that was not represented in that particular winter school was the Northern Cape, for simple reasons that in the Northern Cape, the schools continued during vacation to catch up because of the members of the council remember that there was an Indian educators in the Astral strike. So they wanted to do catch up of that. And we also benefit generally young people in terms of our arts in residency program, especially unemployed youth between the ages of 18 to 25, by imparting skills of art, various forms of art, where they learn to produce their art and learn how to market that particular art. I think those are some of the things that we do in order to address that particular question. And in terms of the year-long celebration, I do not think that we are going to continue doing Mandela year-long celebrations every year. The 90th birthday for us was a special a birthday where a human being has completed 90 years of his life. So we said, let us use this year to have an accelerated program of activities that are going to look at the Mandela name. And one of those activities culminated in a colloquium that was organized between ourselves and the University of Forte to celebrate Mandela's life, with various papers presented. Some of those papers focused on nation building. Some of them challenged
issues of nation building and reconciliation, etc. I think that is the issue and it's short of it.
Honorable Malak.
So I just wanted to follow up on the 90th celebration. I didn't mean that it should be a year-long celebration, but will this, when I mean annual celebration, whether on just the day, just the day, the 18th of July, but whether or not something would be done.
I do not want to say we'll do it on an annual basis, but I think that is something that we must seriously think about, because for this particular year, we haven't planned to do it.
Sorry for that.
Thank you. I think...
can I?
Yeah, I think through you, Chair.
Okay. He wants to assist.
Mm-hmm.
Let's listen to that assistance.
Okay, thank you very much, Chairperson and Honorable Malik. As we all know, Mandela Day has now been adopted as a World Day of Service. In the year not under review, the year that we're still busy with, we did a community service activity, and it's a thread that would continue. We must every year define specifically what we would do in that given year. What we do in terms of significant days, like the museum's birthday, Mr. Mandela's birthday, or Day of Reconciliation, we often link the camp and other activities to that particular day so that we use it to highlight certain whatever is important about that. And so the scale and size differ. So when Mr. Mandela turns 100, obviously it will be bigger than the 90th, but the other ones we would use in a much more low-key and take advantage of media opportunities and other kinds of things. I don't know if it addresses the honorable member's concern.
Maybe the question is both fair and unfair. It's unfair in that Nelson Mandela Day is not only now a day to remember for all South Africans every year. It's no longer negotiable, that status. It has been adopted by the United Nations. So who are we to say we will remember it or we will not remember it? A decision, a binding decision, has been taken. And those who belong to the Nelson Mandela Museum are actually at the heart of this thing. So there's no way in which that fountain can perform a weaker than the other celebrations around the world. This is the fountain from which the water comes. So maybe all he wanted to know is how seriously, really, will you continue to take this Nelson Mandela Day? I don't think we can renegotiate it. A decision has been taken, if I'm not misinterpreting that decision. Thank you very much. Are all the questions exhausted? Please do.
Chief, first of all, you know, in the past we said if you carry the name Nelson Mandela Museum, you can't run it badly or manage it badly. It was changed. And indeed, it's now International Celebratory Day, and it should come from that museum specifically. But I'm not very happy with the response to nation building. I mean, to do craft and all that stuff, it's great. That's non-negotiable. But I'm interested in selling and the future of the icon. It's not the name only. It is taking the history of a man like Mr. Mandela, the circumstances in which he lived, grew up, what he fought for, and what it resulted into. And this is this nice new democratic South Africa and the Rainbow Nation. How does this museum actually do nation building by using that as an example to children to say, no matter what your circumstance is, racially, demographically, materialistically, whatever, how do we use that icon as an example to carry on with nation building? The crafts, I must say to you, it happens everywhere, and it's great. You shouldn't stop. It allows for other opportunities. My concern is, because many museums in our country, Chairperson, you go to and it tells a one-sided story. But we're not using the history of Mr. Mandela to connect children across whatever borders there are for future nation building and social cohesion. That is the program I think we are aiming for. I'm sure Honorable Maluleke will agree with me. That's what we're looking for. We're looking for true nation building. You sit with the best example in this museum.
Honorable van der Waal, I think again that vision and the mission that goes with it is non-negotiable. And I think it's on that basis that the international community have adopted this International Nelson Mandela Day. Because while indeed he said he didn't do it alone, and he didn't do it alone, it was a collective effort by many. But he symbolizes that center of these great values that the world have come to accept as values that can take the whole world forward. And I think that's why South Africa is invited left and right, up and down, in almost all trouble spots of the world. Because they are recognizing that in dealing with our own challenges, which many had concluded had become intractable, and the only outcome would be another African Ocean, not Indian or Atlantic or Pacific this time, but the African Ocean of blood. And those pessimistic prophecies did not happen because of the values that informed a leader like Mandela and the collective and the ordinary people who worked according to that vision. That's the vision. When Chris Hani was shot and killed, I was one of the most hurt people in the world. But people led by Mandela, when people were about to explode and anything and everything could have happened, those values kept our people together and led us to our first democratic election. I understand where you're coming from. But I also heard him saying that unlike some years before the two previous years, when people who came to participate in these nation-building programs, into the Mandela programs, were only from one group. He didn't mention it, and I would guess it was largely African or generally black people. And I've heard him saying, since the past 2 years, things have begun to change, that all provinces and from all backgrounds are coming to participate. With the exception of Northern Cape, which had some problems concerning educational programs for themselves. I don't think we differ here. That's where all of us want to go, because the alternative to quote Botha, PW, is too ghastly to contemplate. So I think we're going in the same direction there. Thank you. Let's take more questions from honorable members. Honorable members.
Thank you, Chairperson. I've been listening carefully when the CEO was presenting here, Chairperson, and I've just isolated a few questions. I just want to alert the House that I might be, because some of the areas seem to be a response to what was raised by the previous meeting you had with this committee. Now, I might be bringing up questions that have been asked before, you will bear with me because I'm not long in this committee. I just want to know and put me into light. You mentioned something like you had to close a project office, and why was that? And on the page that you have presented on there, that says what we did. And the strategic direction that you're talking about here, is it the strategic direction that you used when you did your stress plan for the present budget? And if that is so, did you find it very useful according to the budget that you received, the present budget? And what I want to know also is we've got a museum in Soweto, in Orlando West. What are the relationships between that museum and the one in Umvezo, the old house of Dada in Orlando West? The other question is that I see here you said your HR management highlights were the following that are written here. And you also mentioned that with many key roles that were unfunded and vacant, I assume that these are the issues that you raised here. But now they seem to be so important. How do you find the staff quality of this museum to be performing if there's a whole lot of things here are unfunded? Maybe you can give me clarity. Maybe it's my misunderstanding of the whole thing. I think that is all so far, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Honorable member, I heard you whispering, not so happy about me calling you honorable ma'am. So
No. It's not about the ma'am part. I just wanted to remind you of the Murutwa.
Okay. I was going to promise that if that didn't handle you correctly, I repent and will behave and call you honorable
ma'am. I'm quite comfortable because actually people add to my name, and it has just become my name. They don't say story. They say my story. The lady behind here, she knows from Johannesburg, Pumla.
Okay, thank you very much. We must respect our parents, so we don't want to say things that are not acceptable to them. Thank you, Honorable Ma Murutwa. More questions? I see no questions. You'll handle this. And then I also have a question or two.
Okay.
Or maybe let me bring them now so that you can exhaust, and then we move to the next. Are you able, briefly, to share with the Portfolio Committee your strategic plans for the 5 years, 2009, say, to 2014? And if wishes were horses, where do you want to take the Nelson Mandela in these 5 coming years? If wishes were horses, beggars would ride. You did talk to the job thing, and your lieutenant there did touch on some jobs. You know, jobs are very critical. It's part of our State of the Nation address and our manifesto. I want to hear more about how you seriously consider creating decent jobs yourself. This area in which you're involved is very huge, and things can happen here. I'm not just talking about staff. I'm talking about job creation in communities and so forth, sustainable, decent jobs. Africa is very rich culturally, and with the kind of things you're doing. You've not said much about tourism, and I know you're talking about attracting people and people and people and so forth. Do you have projections and so forth? I mean, 2010 is coming. Do you have projections of more or less how many people will come then? And you've talked about the liberation route. Can you just draw a map for us? Is this just incident connected with liberation, or do you have got a geographic route that moves from that place to that place to that place to that place? A kind of route, as you say, that connects the people of South Africa, because in that route many have traveled and suffered. Can you explain more on that one? You did touch on crime, that some very precious items were stolen and you have never recovered them. And crime is one of those things we want to fight according to our plans, and corruption. You've touched on some things, you didn't call them corruption, but they sound like they can qualify. What programs do you have to fight crime, to fight corruption? This industry in which you're involved is very open to those possibilities. And that is the program we want to really succeed on. You did not address the dialectic of rural and urban. Yes, we've had Mvezo, we've had Mutu, but rurally, generally, what kind of programs do you have to really enhance that part without neglecting the urban? Because rural transformation and empowerment is part of the programs we're taking very, very seriously. Honorable van der Waal, and you've responded, touch on the issue of education. In our context, this education is critical. In fact, if we fail here in educating our people to have respect one another's culture, to share in the cultures of others, you fail in this education, everything else collapses because people have not discovered one another. Did I hear you saying something about DVD, or is it a video? Do you have a video on the Nelson Mandela Museum? This now is declared International Nelson Mandela Day. Have we saved the proceedings of the United Nations, the process that led to that, where people can come to the museum, or we can have videos where we can look and capture the highlights of the Nelson Mandela Museum? You've talked about the 2010, it will be a 10th anniversary. And that's why I can't understand, if it's the 10th anniversary, why you're not so sure about what you'll be doing next year. I can't understand. It's your 10th anniversary, our 10th anniversary. And that's very important. I think we can take advantage of that and use that 10th anniversary to reach a greater height in our program. Finally, you talked about the board, whose term expired in September. And you hope there will be one next year. Are you aware of processes that are leading us in that direction? And in the meantime, how are you handling the vacuum? Have you extended the term of the existing of the board that expired in September? Or how are you handling that vacuum? You respond to all those questions, and we move towards closure of this presentation and discussion.
Thank you, Chairperson. I see why you wanted to put them as a separate set. Honorable van der Walt
spoke about nation building and the program. Thank you. The work that happens in the different layers of the museum, when people go on the tour, when people come and participate in a debate or in a youth camp, when we organize a colloquium that have people who don't agree on the meaning of Mandela, when we provoke the presentation of academic papers and they are later organizing into a publication, when we have a multimedia exhibition, honorable members, we're going on recess and on a holiday, please make time to visit the Nelson Mandela Museum. Because the new exhibition that is there, where after you have experienced it, some of the questions that the Honorable Van der Walt has raised will be answered. Because we try and create this life-changing experience without being instructive in a Eurozenic kind of way. But by people interacting with their various messages, and this new exhibition, and even the one which is a brand new, still to be opened, the conversation, Nelson Mandela, Albert Luthuli. They also do that. They say, where do these people come from? What influenced them? What were they seeking to do? How were they different from other leaders? And what have we inherited from them? What does it mean going forward? And that's an ongoing theme of how we attempt to be different in our urban site and in our rural site. And so the camps and youth programs that Mr. Solani talked about and the way in which they attempt to target young leaders from diverse communities is knowing that we can't reach every individual. But if we reach young leaders and organizations that work with them, they interact with the message we have, they'll be able to use it in their day-to-day work. You know, this facility, which is in your presentation, unfortunately I couldn't show it on the video, it's in Kono. It takes up to 60 people sharing, and it's custom-built for young people programming. It's really amazing, not because I work in it. It is. It's custom-built as a focal point for young people to experience the authentic space of Mr. Mandela's upbringing. But what funny thing that's happening, adult conference goers and executives are becoming a major user of it. And when we initially targeted them as the primary target audience, but that's how good it is. Not just because conference venues are air-conditioned and all of that. So there is that. And then the national, okay, the project office that closed down for the Liberation Project, I think there was a change in administration. And so a new board came in and they reprioritized, but also they took into account the phase in which the project had evolved into. What had initially was a pilot initiative where we were to seek buy-in for the idea that South Africa has so many sites of conflict, reconciliation, cultural interaction, which punctuate the journey to a diverse, inclusive democracy. And so these sites need to be memorialized, interpreted, and be part of the organizing theme, spatial and otherwise, for primarily cultural preservation of what's important to South Africans. And parallel to that, be leveraged for tourism and for other related creative industries. And for infrastructure interventions that we knew are always are planned to be crowded, to be associated with the heritage significance of the various spaces. So these kinds of faces sometimes are mission schools, sometimes are universities, sometimes are sites where there were massacres, sometimes are sites where there were peace treaties negotiated, and sometimes are places where people crossed borders legally or illegally. Sometimes they are former prisons, sometimes they are courts, and sometimes they are the constitutional court, which is a product of a completely new era. And the National Heritage Council is a suitable body to continue that work. And I know when they come here, they will report in more detail, because part of what they've done, after interaction which we all had with the previous minister, I said, this thing needs a proper business case, this thing needs to be given detailed research, and they've devoted resources to doing that. And I don't want to pretend to speak for them, but I'm in touch with that process. Now, relations with other sites to do with Mr. Mandela, Soweto, Robben Island, Victor Fister, Kekezweni, Capture Site, Hawick, all these are independent sites with their own life. We are the initiative of this parliament and this government. We're the official institution of the people of South Africa to remember Mr. Nelson Mandela. We always look to cultivate good relations with Mandela and freedom-related sites, and those sites that tell the kind of story that's important to us. So that museum is the way I understand it. It's a family trust museum at this stage. So at the level of, at this stage, because there's been transitions there, as honorable members might know, but I think most of the transitions are concluded now. The relations is in terms of what's available tourism-wise and information-wise. But this stabilization presents the opportunity for more organization-to-organization relations as we seek to cultivate. Mr. Solani talked earlier about our relations with the Robben Island Museum, with Luthuli Museum, with Apartheid Museum, which is not a state body, but deals very interestingly with elements of the history of our country. The impact of the inadequate staffing on the museum, honorable member, you're dead right, it's very bad. Working with less than, for a long time we've been working with less than 50% of what we need. And it's that issue of phase one. You know, the bad thing that happens for us institutions far away. If the ribbon has been cut and phase one has been announced, you easily get forgotten. And then the hard work that must happen after now, the business plan has been prepared, and for the actual thing to say now, okay, how do we do the detailed research of each of these artifacts? How do we curate them differently? How do we store them each in accordance to, because a textile requires a different kind of storage to a leather and to a wooden material, and investing in those kinds of resources becomes a problem. And so there are crucial staffing areas which are not addressed, and so we're forced to address them by way of
staffing. 2 minutes to
okay. Thanks, Chairperson. So, yeah, there is a problem there, but we're continuing to engage, and we're hopeful that at some point, in spite of the recession, some of the key areas will be able to be addressed. The strategy going forward, we've engaged with this question very closely. The major things for the museum is to strengthen the content and the availability of options for people to experience. So the exhibitions, the library, the research material are part of that. Now, I don't know if Parliament adopt projects, but if Parliament and Wishes or Horses were to want to adopt a big phase two element of the library of the Mandela Museum, which houses all books in all languages from all over the world, maybe that's a project to Parliament find us. In addition to whatever we're looking, a big sponsor that makes a memorable building with good collection where all the important research of Mr. Mandela can be done. So research is a next directly important thing.
strengthening our relations with tourism. So this thing of delivering so many new exhibitions just in time for 2010 is part of that process. Increasing the reach or the way in which the museum can reach people beyond where it's located is the other one. And then the physical infrastructure issues that I've talked about. So if you were to look at it in a very short way, what will we have to have succeeded? The capacity of the museum will have improved in the 5 to 10 years. Capacity in terms of people and in terms of the infrastructure that it needs. The offerings will have become diverse in terms of different kinds of media. And there will be much more detailed research on what's available and would have become a focal point for community cultural life, something that's useful to communities. And in terms of the questions of the chairman, I think many of them are important suggestions. But you might have seen, Honorable Johnson, as I was addressing these, I've tried to locate ourselves in the fact that we're a rural museum primarily, with one site that's urban located, one of very few rural museums. And we hope that now we've attempted to work, we've proved that it's a worthwhile thing for national government and provincial government to invest in making cultural resources available in rural areas. Because when they are there, they come in as beautiful things to experience, but also as a trigger for other kinds of infrastructure initiatives and for creative industries of different kinds, not just crafts, film and other types of things. And so tourism is part of what we do. That's why I mentioned that Mr. Dan always makes us go to the tourism in Durban. And I talked about the job initials are starting to package us and how they are growing. And I thank you very much.
Thank you very much. The honorable member who just arrived is Honorable Chivase. The rest you have met. We move to close now. These portfolio committees ever open to you. If there are ways in which you think taking the mandate of the committee into account, one in the area of legislation, you might encounter problems because of existing legislation that it has become unconstitutional in the new dispensation. As you do your work, you might find that some legislation needs to be repealed, or you find legislative lacunae, gaps, where you think new dimensions of legislation can assist. That's our job. Let us know. Now, we also monitor, we do oversight over the department that is closely related to you. If there are areas where you think our attention and involvement will help, don't hesitate to communicate to us through email, whatever form, preferably not just by phone, because there are so many things that come by phone every day and we forget. And if there are great things to celebrate, you're talking about the anniversary, let us know. Maybe we can also come. And you did mention that, honorable members, if and when you're in that area, you know you are very welcome. You probably do produce books and magazines and commercial adverts. Some of these things members will be happy to receive and look at. Now, we cannot overemphasize the issue that has been raised by several people here, that you are running and managing an institution with the name that means all those good things, not only to South Africa, but to the world. It's a huge burden. At one stage during the first parliament here, I was part of that meeting where the president of the European Union, I forget the name, he was German then, and he said, South Africa at this moment in time has the greatest leadership in the name of Mandela. And he asked the question, what happens when Mandela goes? Our response was, the liberation movement has always found people with adequate leadership, collective leadership, skills to continue with the vision and the mission. And we jokingly asked, do you know of any other continent that can give us exactly another Mandela? And the gentleman said, now I understand the challenge. I can't even begin to think of who else. But I want to believe that South African liberation movement has continued to supply us with leadership that can take us somewhere. So he concluded by saying, this recognition comes with a huge responsibility. This recognition that you have got the best leadership in the world at this given time. And I think the fact that you run this institution comes with that huge responsibility. That recognition comes with this huge responsibility. I want to thank you, Honorable Van der Walt, again for the issue you raised. I quote Hegel again. He once said that people always repeat the same mistakes. I'm paraphrasing. And George Santayana, another philosopher, agreed with an amendment. So yes, to the extent that people fail to learn from their mistakes, to that extent they repeat their mistakes. But to the extent that they are willing to learn from the past, from their successes and their mistakes, to that extent, they need not repeat their mistakes. I think we're not only talking about this for our good selves, but for our children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, generations that must be grateful for the way we have handled these very sensitive issues. In conclusion, together, all these questions we're asking you, we're not saying do it alone. We must also play a role. If we must bring people of different backgrounds and colors and cultures, it means, Comrade Nyalungu, the cultures of Mpumalanga, you must make sure they are there. Or Honorable Prof. Lothrit, you must make that those who come from your culture are there and make their humble contribution. And all of us must make that contribution. Because to a certain degree, there are people who only come if Farisani says to them, let's go. And if I say to them, don't go, they say, oh, this is a member of parliament. He says we shouldn't go. And we don't go. So this is a collective effort. There's no way one single group can do it alone. All of us. Yourselves as the Nelson Mandela Institution, and we as Portfolio and every citizen. We must make that humble contribution for us to succeed. Punctuality for this committee concerning all of you for the future will mean this. You arrive here, if we say we're starting at 9 or 10, you arrive an hour or more earlier. Set up your gadgets, test them that they work, so that we don't come here while we're proceeding and people are struggling with gadgets and they're refusing to work. That gives you even more time to get assistance if you actually need it. And punctuality will need that you also budget for the traffic jams and aeroplane delays. You budget for these things when you go to a meeting. Because otherwise, unless we budget for those delays, will always have good reasons, I don't want to call them excuses, not to arrive on time. Thank you. We appreciate this. We'll take a break of 5 minutes. I know some will want to extend it to 7 minutes. That will be accepted through the Spirit of Grace when the next team prepares to make a presentation. Thank you very much. Of? Honorable members, he wants to address the issue of the council.
Honorable members, yes, I wasn't running away. It missed my attention. It's the most important thing. Because even the audit committee is a committee of that council, which is a very important oversight element. It's not in our control. Usually the department or the ministry have the option to invite proposals for new councils to be appointed or extend existing councils or designate certain functions to the CEO until the time of a new council is appointed. Now, when there's a gap, then difficulties arise, but I'm pretty certain that the department is somehow attending to it and some information will be made available to us in due course. I know the previous chairperson has sent some communications and we have made some modest inquiries as well as to be able to be in some light.
You are being diplomatic.
It's pending.
You're being diplomatic. In other words, you're saying to this committee, assist us in your oversight and interaction with the department. I think the department is represented here. I think there's somebody from the department here. You have heard it. Okay. And we'll monitor you to make sure that you deliver on this one. Thank you very much. Let's take that break.
You can give honorable members the discs of the abonnés.
Okay, let's go out and be back in 5-6 minutes.
And then,
Thank you.
it is Dr. Nelson and so again you're welcome. And we shall proceed to allow the EZCO representatives to introduce themselves or whatever way they've arranged. And we are giving them not more than 25 minutes. If there are a few minutes of grace, I'll consider that when I come to that bridge. To make a complete presentation, after which there'll be interaction, so that by not later than 13 hours, we all are free to leave this place. Proceed.
Yeah. Good morning, Chair. Thank you for having a delegation from Azika Museums. I'd like to introduce our team. On my right is our CEO, Professor Jackie Brederkamp, who we are sharing with Robben Island at the moment, but he's here as CEO of Azika. On my left is Mrs. Faiza Ali, who is our Chief Financial Officer. On her left, Mrs. Thalisa Badusa, who is our Executive Director Operations. And on her left, Dr. Patricia Davidson, who is our retired Executive Director Core Functions, who has kindly agreed to stay on as an acting Deputy Chief Executive Officer, particularly with the hiatus at Robben Island. And then also part of the EZCO team, my colleague in the corner, Mrs. Pumla Madiba, who is a non-executive member of council and has experience with SARA and other heritage backgrounds. For my part, my name is Dave Mitchell. I'm chairman of the audit committee, a non-executive member of council, and standing in deputy chairman today, here representing Professor L.T. Links, who is chairman of council. It is our pleasure to be with you. If I can deal straight off with the issue of the Office of Council. Similarly to Nelson Mandela, our term of office expired at the 30th of September. We have interacted with the department and with the minister. As a council, we are not able to extend our own appointment, but the council members are willing to do so. We have engaged with the minister and suggested that an extension to the 31st of March 2010 would be appropriate, but this matter is in the minister's hands and with the department, and we would appreciate your support to regularize that. As an organization, we are uncomfortable functioning if we do not have the necessary authority levels in place. I'd like to just emphasize and reiterate the comment made by Professor L.T. Links in his chairman's review, and that is that at Azika we take our role very seriously. Museums are not stuffy places up on a hill, mausoleums for time capsules of past periods, but they are places that need to be alive, that need to reach out to different communities, both local, both further afield. We're well aware of 2010. It is a place of excitement, and one of the highlights, the pleasures of being involved with Azika is walking into a museum or coming around a street corner and seeing a sausage of young kids excited. All shapes, sizes, hues, but that excitement, that passion of kids on an outing outside of the classroom, that is what museums and the outreach is all about. And there's been a tremendous thrust to extend the reach of the museum and to change the way, transform the way, enhance the way of Azika being able to reach that. And that has been fantastic. I'd now like to hand you over to our Chief Executive, Professor Brederkamp, who will take you through the presentation.
Thank you. Welcome, Prof. Brederkamp.
Thank you, Mpundizi. Dr. Farasani, Chair, and honorable members, the annual report was on time available in terms of the regulations and the Act, and what we will see here in our presentation is more a visual presentation. The text is very much here, and it's about covering the period from March, 1st of April last year, as we all know, up to the end of March this year. Not what happened so much after April this year. That will be the next time when my successor will most probably present that. The last paragraph, last sentence there is important, Chair. Namely, that Ezekiel Mus, it is also on this handout, that would be there for the second slide on the thing. Have
it been handed? I have done.
Okay,
I'm only showing a preference. I would have been happier if this gadget was working.
It's a pity.
I would not have to strain my muscles.
Jane,
and sue Parliament for breaking my neck.
No. Honorable Chair, that's why we brought our own laptop and we brought our own data projector also, you know, so we would have been able to do that. Anyway, 12 museums, not one. That's what Ezekiel Museums of Cape Town is all about. The vision, the mission, our core business is all stated there, so I needn't to go into that. There we show you the 12 museums that we talk about and what we have to report on every year. And this is, I think, my fourth and perhaps my last presentation to a portfolios committee of South Africa's Parliament. Having said that, there we have the geographical spread of our museums and sites in the center of Cape Town. With the important point we want to make, as you can see there, if you under 16, you have free access to our site. This is a collage of all our museums and sites. The senior managers there you have who the current senior managers are. Here we have the executive, because we make a distinction, Jay, between executive management and senior management. And what you see there are the executive plus the senior managers of Ezekiel Museums of Cape Town. For the last time, our annual report referred to the super six of Ezekiel Museums in its annual report. The six goals. Can we just follow them? Because it seems like some people have problems. So, Chair, I am now already on page two. I'm already on page two, the last slide on the handout. Page two, the last at the bottom right-hand corner.
So next time you just paginate, because two by now means you must physically count. There's no pagination. Thank you. It's paper number two.
Okay. They're 20 altogether. Thank you. Okay, Chair. Our strategic goal one is clearly stated in the annual report, in our strategic plan, and therefore also in this presentation. Ezekiel is, among other things, about transformation in action. There is the first key objective for Ezekiel, ensuring good governance and legal compliance. And I think council and senior management staff are proud to indicate that once again, you can see there what we have achieved, as stated in the annual report. About once again, this objective of ensuring good governance and legal compliance, we state the three things that we are proud of, particularly the last bullet there should be noted, that next time we will report on the new format of our strategic plan that was developed in the financial year that I report on here today. But that we will report on the outcome of that in the next annual report. Again, about governance, the key objective of building, oh good, there it goes, what a pity. About the objective of good governance and legal compliance. We have received, once again, as you can see the first one, a clean audit report. For the fourth time at Ezeco. And I've been there 5 years then. But not what I achieved, it was what my senior managers achieved. This is what I indicated in terms of building partnerships. What the CEO has been done, you can see there, nationally and internationally. This was signed at the castle in the presence of the Dutch Consul General Cape Town, the chairperson at the back is director of the museum in Leiden, the Netherlands. But equally important, he's also the chairperson of the European Directors Forum. And we have also from Suriname a person there signing that. Here you see, there you can see two at SAMP, which stands for the Swedish African Museum Program Network, which has expanded to Latin America now already, also, and to Asia, and two of our am I going back to show you that? Sorry, technically check. No, I want to do the one that I had now, because I wanted to show the two Ezeco people. Yes, continue. The two Ezeco functionaries that were also in Tanzania. Yes, this one, eh? Ah, there it is. Faiza Ali, our CFO, you can see there. And then also, Fonia, she's also there, Clayton. They, the two of them were at this international gathering of Fiona Clayton and Faiza Ali of this. A course in networking and management they attended. And Ezeco is the only South African.
Honorable members, I think we want to encourage the professor to spend more time on the substance than on individuals, because I think that's what you are interested in. We're not saying individuals must be ignored, but time is ticking away. So let's spend more time on substance.
Thank you. This is all about partnerships. Partnerships with Mali. Here we have again partnerships that resulted in exhibitions. There you can see individuals are named there in the bullets, because that was very important for us to recognize important artists, what they have done. There you can see that we also collaborated with the Department of Public Works. It's not now so much about partnerships, but it's about collaboration with state departments, indicated on it. There you can see what we've been doing. All of this is in the annual report. Further, in the year under review, this is what we've been doing. The building image you see there is not yet there, but with the support of the Department of Arts and Culture, and Public Works, this structure should be there within the next 3 to 5 years. Later this month, early next month, This is what at the Ezekiel South African Museum, the entrance will look like. We're just finalizing this. People is important to us at Ezekiel Museums. Very important. We cannot ignore people. And therefore, the second strategic goal for us is achieve service excellence through management and development of human resources. There we give you an indication of what happened between 2003 and the current in terms of our workforce profile. 2003-04, you can see there was definitely a growth, male as well as female, in terms of meeting the requirements of transformation for human resources. This is the new and first black director of an art gallery in South Africa. Not only in Cape Town, not only in the Western Cape, but this, and we're very proud about this. Again, it's about people, chairperson. There you can see how our programs look like 419 training opportunities for individuals, for people, that you can see there. Our climate and culture, it's so important that our institutions, Ezekiel also, that let us take on the challenge of an outdated culture and climate inherited from a previous dispensation. There we have successful interns from the Department of Arts and Culture, and we encourage the Department of Arts and Culture that they provide us with more interns, because Ezekiel has proven people get jobs after they have been trained through Ezekiel as interns. Then goal number 6, which our honorable members will be very much interested in, is ensuring sustainability and financial sustainability. There you can see in our key objective what we have achieved, stated in our annual report. Look there, when it comes to the revenue generation, 18 million. And government grant is, as you can see there, 70%. Then 30% is what we have generated. As you can see, gate revenue, interest received, income by venue hire, rental income, parking, miscellaneous sales, and fundraising, I've already mentioned that 30%. Increase, look there what happened, Honorable Chairperson and members, from 2002 up to the last financial year. Interpreting our collections is so important to us. Acquisitions. Socially, three acquisitions, only 120,000 we could art collections, and that's why there's an outcry times in the media about we do not get sufficient money for that. There you can see our new acquisitions of new material, people going out. Here you see our director of natural history working in the field, trying to find ants, because he's a specialist in ants. How wonderful that, you know. And that's why Dr. Smith there, he expressed his joy at finding a 250 million year skull. Where? Not in South Africa, in Tanzania. Because we at Ezekiel would like to show that we are proud of not South Africa, but our African continent in Southern Africa. The BBC, they can see the BBC.
That's a human skull.
But no.
Is that a human skull?
No. Yeah, okay, thank you. The BBC, you can see there, what Ezekiel is doing this at the moment. Oh, not finished, so hopefully we'll see pretty soon on BBC. Mali, we have got, the objective of new knowledge. Generating new knowledge. I hope that our members of Parliament has got a copy of this book. I don't know how many, some of you I know, attended the opening at the castle. Others were not there. But I think we could give you a copy. Look, the past financial year chairperson, the last bullet there, more than 30 research papers were not written, were published.
To respond to that one, it's our preference that when such precious documents or structures with critical information is made available, it gets to all of us, honorable members. Thank you. Proceed.
Thank you. Maybe the member will get a refund thing. Okay? Yeah. Even
if I read it. Excuse me?
Chair, on condition we all read it. It's very
scientific. No, you can't pass a vote of no confidence on honorable members.
Honorable.
They read. Thank you. Proceed.
Thank you. This, you know, again, with the objective of generating new knowledge, this publication was also produced, published, and the exhibition was in India. This exhibition was in India. Now we move to developing an integrated program for dynamic, temporary, and long-term exhibitions. And I will just run through it quickly, just to give you a sense. All of this is in text form in the annual report. This was an exhibition that drew thousands of people to visit, and people that never visited because ETV, free of charge, advertised this for us, this exhibition, since we have got this collaboration with them. I'm still with our exhibition programs. Now we come to commemorative days. You see, that's an objective that people, that Ezekiel should make people aware of our commemorative days. And we've introduced to help people to make it accessible, we introduced a new pricing strategy, which I indicated at the beginning of the presentation, of which I see I have got still 20 minutes left. During Heritage Week, over 8,000 of our visitors came to see on Heritage Day. I know from the township, one township, over 1,000 people arrived in public transport because they organized themselves to come to Ezekiel South African Museum. Eighth, very important, Honourable Chair, as you can see there, this is when Ezekiel took Cape Town, the streets of Cape Town on the 1st of December. We marched from the castle, there we go, from the castle through the city. Those are all staff members of Ezekiel, nobody else. Increase access and use of Ezekiel educational resources. See how many benefited, again, individuals benefited from this. Not a symbolic text, it's a real people that benefited from all this. Look there at the planetarium, hosted. How many visitors? All indicated there, Honorable Chair. Next year, 2010 exhibition program. We also indicated this in our annual report. We have already developed a strategy and program for World Cup 2010. And those are for the FIFA World Cup of Ezekiel have hoped. 2 years ago we submitted already to the department. We're waiting still to see whether we would receive. I know that the minister has appointed a task force to work on it, but time is running out. For us, it's already November, and we have, as I said, 2 years ago already submitted all this. I don't go into the detail. You can see there what the programs are that we hope to offer next year. And my executive director of core functions will, in a moment, say something about this. We have got Ezekiel mobile Museum. A vehicle that you can see there is Zeku on the move, going many places nearby. Increasing access is another, the fourth strategic goal. Our key objective, one of the objectives, is to develop a marketing and communication strategy. I've already indicated to you about one of the messages in our marketing strategy, that Zeku is free if you're younger than 16. That's one of our key messages. And we're not one museum, but 12. And the meaning of Zeku, a place where knowledge is shared and stories are told. After all, Zeku, that center, is where you want and should know more about your diverse past. And what I like to emphasize in all speeches is, when you come to Zeku's event, when you leave it, you should have seen something differently. We would like people to see things differently. Those are the key messages. We want to satisfy our visitors, and that is, signage is so important at Zeku. We're developing a refined strategy about signage. VIP visitors. I won't talk longer than about this. You can see who visited us last year. Special request from Parliament, and we made the space for that. There is also the young, because we want to focus also at times different languages and physical people with physical disabilities. Chair, that's the 20 minutes that I run through for your response. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Prof. You have actually done a little better than I have allocated. Congratulations on that. Thank you. All honorable members here are under 16. Do you require that certificate at the entrance? Honorable members, any questions? Prof, we'll take 5-6 questions at a time, and you and your team will decide how to share those questions. Prof?
Thank you, Chair. First of all, I would perhaps just say my colleague and I, Honorable Van der Walt, visited Zeku in the Heritage Week, and I now hear that we went in for free because we looked under 16 and not because it was free on the day. What I would like to ask, first of all, Professor Bredenkamp, you referred to a climate study that was done. Could you perhaps elaborate a bit more on that? What were the main findings? I do recall that there was a report some time ago about some unhappiness among staff at the museum, so perhaps just a bit more on that. And then secondly, in brief, what would you consider to be the main challenges in terms of the exhibitions that you do have, the existing exhibitions? And then thirdly, in terms of language, when we visited the museum itself, we looked at the language explanations and information, and in some instances they were in Afrikaans and English, some only in English, and what would be the possibility of extending that to other languages as well?
Thank you. Honorable Chivasa? Honorable Van der Walt, I am not discriminating against you. I'm just jumping from one angle to another. Honorable Chivasa?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I believe that my delay, I really extended my apology of arriving early because of the incident I have explained to you. CEO, I think we visited your center, as you still remember. But I have a problem with even though it's not a little bit out of what your report. But it appears as if the history of the museum is somehow hidden. Why Ezekiel? The name, the slave lodge, is no more heard. It's no, never heard. I think we are denying our children the history of the institution. One would like to, I'm just for interest sake, why is the history hidden from the public? Thank you.
Honorable Van der Walt.
Well, just let me make a remark before I ask you. The reference to the book is why we should read has been maybe Honorable Maluleke can motivate why we can now go to Timbuktu. We've been trying for 4 years in the committee to go to Timbuktu. But nevertheless, obviously one would like to congratulate the Zico Museum on the once again having an unqualified audit report. I think for all the museums we visited over the last almost 6 years, we have always been pleasantly surprised on how well it is managed. In maybe one or two problems, I don't think there are any institution or entity of this department without challenges. And we've seen some of it, but they still manage to have unqualified reports. In reading your AG report, I was just having a question on where did your external funding. It didn't state where that, I think you grew your external funding with about 8 million rand, if I recall correctly. Where did that exactly come from? And that is the only question I actually have. Okay.
More questions? Honorable Maluleke.
Thanks, Chair. I don't know whether or not this question would be the same question that Member Lotsit asked with regard to staff at the museum, because I heard that, although it's not in the report, that there were, or how far true this is, that there was some unhappiness and accusations of racism at the museum. And if I'm not wrong, it seems there's a case before the Human Rights Commission. If that could just be responded to. And then there's this, the museum rent cars and copiers. And I just want to find out how or what the reason is. Does this make some business sense? Does it save your money by renting instead of purchasing your own? On that list of days that you celebrate or commemorate, I didn't see maybe. I didn't see Nelson Mandela Day. Or if it's new, so maybe most probably from next year it will feature among those days.
Thank you very much. Did you still have a question?
No, I will take it.
Okay. Honorable Mama Morotwa.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to ask one question here. You know, I see that you say you increase access to and use of languages, access, improve the access to languages. How is that done? Now that you see that you have improved it, how is it done? And how do you really evaluate that you have improved from what it was? I don't know what was it prior to the...
Thank you very much. Let's deal with these questions first.
I think, Honorable Chair, it is perhaps still important that I repeat what I said. This is a report, and what you see here, up to March 2009. Some of the questions relate to the period after that, but I will respond to that also. But I just thought that it's important that the honorable members bear that in mind, that I'm judged more on the annual report that was tabled at Parliament. You know, thank you. Chenning, thank you very much for very interesting questions.
Through you, Chair. I think I just want to also make the CEO aware that we can ask questions long before this year ends, you know, like yesterday. If something happened yesterday, we should be free to ask you this.
In fact, we're going to sort of strategize our approach that will largely avoid chasing the horse after it is bolted out of the cross. We're going to be dealing with both the past, the present, and the future. That's the new approach. That's the new language. Thank you very much. Proceed, Professor.
Chair, no, thank you, but I think I understand that. I just wanted to be very clear about it, and surely, as our parliamentarians, I should answer any question. That is not that I wanted. I just wanted a conceptual...
Now, we're not concluding that you are avoiding questions.
Okay.
When you responded, you already said even if the report deals with up to the 31st of March, you're willing to deal with what has happened thereafter. So nobody is under the impression that you're refusing to respond. Thank you.
Thank you. The first question, and let me rather do it in sequence, was about the culture and climate survey done by a reputable service provider and in accordance with supply chain management principles. I just want to make that very clear, Chair. And The surprising finding was that our core values and practices in our book seem not to be anymore a concern of staff that responded to the service, which was done electronically, which was a plus for us. In other words, Ezekiel has succeeded in that. The second important point was, there's what they call entropy, almost a negative, you know, of 50% at Ezekiel, that was the finding, whereas the average in South African companies, not even to talk about public entities, is much higher than that, even up to 90%. At Ezekiel's case, it is 30%. And I must admit, I myself was surprised of this positive finding. You know, but those were people, and it was over 50% of the staff, in any case, who responded electronically to it. Then there are negative things, definitely. You cannot deny it. And this has now been dealt with by what you call theme teams, where the staff themselves divided them into theme teams. You see, leadership, remuneration, employment equity, all these kind of things, theme teams, and there's six of them, about four of them have already reported that the opportunity to come and not only complain but also make proposals. And early next month, we will have a big staff meeting where they will make the same presentation to the entire staff. So I think that we are definitely on course dealing with the issue of climate and culture. Yes, in the newspaper, and it's interesting, actually, yes, I should say the newspaper, because the same person sent the same letter to all the newspapers you read, whether it was the Cape Times or whether it was Business or all these things. And was that particular person was years ago involved in the National Gallery, South African National Gallery. We discovered the name of the person, and unfortunately, afterwards we've also discovered, which I wouldn't like to say so much, that I think that, in my terms, Mfundisi, I think we need to pray for that person, because I think the person needs guidance in many ways. Then there was a second person who just resigned recently, and she only wrote to the one paper. And that person, unfortunately, challenged us about the introduction of performance. You know, we have gone, having been so many years at the South African Museum, I can understand. So it was the only person who resigned and challenged us every time about the way we introduced performance assessment. And in the end, got so frustrated and desired. Now, I wouldn't go to the reasons why the person was not happy with the assessment process that we have introduced. Immediately, I want to move to the main challenges about the exhibitions that we have. Out at Iziko, we have three main types of exhibitions, to put it that way. You have got art exhibitions, then you have social history collections exhibitions, and then you have natural history collections exhibitions. Now, could I immediately use this opportunity to invite, if you have not yet received your invitation, next week we have the Darwin exhibition on Darwin. Please come. Now, unfortunately, some of you received the exhibition. We will have opening of the exhibition. We will have on the 25th of this month. On our
lobby, let's agree on the invitation part.
On the, unfortunately, that is not only in our hands. That's why I'm coming to that.
Excuse me. Could we just agree on the invitation part? That is better and more honorable to invite honorable members formally. If there are challenges in that area from other quarters, you let us know.
I'll do that. Okay. Opened, it is the invitation, or rather the exhibition on our country's four Nobel Peace Laureates. And the people and the Nobel Center have such a high regard for Iziko that they decided, instead of having the opening in Oslo, it will be in Cape Town. And it will be opened by the King and Queen of Norway on their state visit next week. And I say, it is indeed a great honor for Iziko to be recognized by the outside world for what it has achieved, and particularly our art collection. The third one is the social history, as I've said. Now, the challenge is, how do you consolidate five diverse museums that had their own way of exhibitions, was clear, now into one institution's exhibitions? Other museums, I think it's easier, because it's clear, look here, they've got only one mission and they've got only one thing to do. So that is the challenge of amalgamation, and how do you bring that? The second challenge with our exhibitions is the understaffing setup. You see, you need curators and you need other professionals. And I'm amazed how my staff, my professionals, my curators, my directors and the executive directors of the year were able, with limited resources, to have had blockbuster exhibitions. It was done by the passion of professionals. That's why we could do it. As you've seen there, not only the Picassos that we had, and not only the William Kenridges that we had, and so can I go on. And what is important is, I hope that the portfolio committee, which I've asked in previous portfolio, will assist us and will try to work that our executive authority and treasury really assist us after I've left, as I should say now, yeah, so that my successor and the staff could really even improve on the blockbusters that we have. So those would be the challenges that I think we have. With regard to the language, the language that we have is, I think I've been referring, among other things, to Braille also. Which is, I mean, I think that we realize that also, you know, a language that we talk about. And in some instances, where we have the funding, particularly in the art gallery, we try to introduce this kind of language diversity. That brings me to the question that was later asked about, you know, some only in Afrikaans, some, no, sorry, definitely not only in Afrikaans, only in English, some in Afrikaans and Isikosa in some instances. Essentially, Che, it is about funding. You can do what you want to do with the money that you have. And there are other priorities that you first have to give attention to. And we had in a different context, I had a very interesting, at the University of the Western Cape, where Ezekiel also, and this was in this year, the Roots Festival exhibition, maybe you've heard about the Roots Festival, we observed UWC students. We observed them because it's in three languages. Your speakers of African languages hardly looked at that part of it. They immediately went only to the English. Only look at the English one. And we say, that gives you... So there seems to be also a change of mind at that level, at university students' level, to not only ask for some basic reasons that there should be this multilingual approach, but I think we also need an education to encourage students to show, I've got such respect for my language that I won't read at the English part. I will look at that part that I can identify with them culturally. So it's an issue of funding that we need. And then also space. You know, it takes more time. That if you have more languages there, then it means the text will become more busy, more crammed than if you have to get all these languages. But I think this is something that, a challenge that we need to attend to. I like the question about we hiding the history of the museum. Though I didn't fully understand the question. Also, I have to admit, because people have become so much aware of, the public has become so much aware of the slave lodge. No, when I started in November 2003, people were still talking about the South African Cultural History Museum. We had a deliberate effort to let people understand that building is no longer the South African culture, it is the slave lodge. To the extent that when the president of France visited South Africa last year,
there was a function at the South African Gallery. Ezekiel South African Gallery for him, I know, Professor Kada Asmal and them all. And we had the same time with Minister Paulo Jordan had a function also at the Ezekiel Slave Lodge with the Egyptian ambassador. What happened? The then mayor of Cape Town, the then leader of the opposition parties came to the slave lodge. Because all they see Ezekiel. And they didn't realize Ezekiel represent a number of sites. They thought Ezekiel was a slave lodge since it was raised. So I think there's quite an awareness among people about the slave lodge. What history is hidden? I think this is what rather we should say. The history that is hidden is the history of the South African
Museum. Now you use the last minute to summarize.
The South African Museum. There's quite a history to that, and we are busy try dealing with that to understand how we came from the old South African Museum to where we are at present. I think that what we have with regard to staff, the accusations of racism, I'm not so mighty. I would like proof of those kind of, that people say, look, is this easy? There could be some reference to it, which I am not so much aware now. When I started there, I know there was a lot of this kind of complaints. Human rights, I'm not aware. This is something new to me that we have been to the human rights, put before the Human Rights Commission. I would like to have more details, unless any of my colleagues, not even my committee chairperson doesn't know about it, so could we just move on to that? And then, with regard to the renting, instead of purchasing, I was not clear about it, it's when you hire. The only space that we rent is at the waterfront, which we've inherited. But I don't think we've inherited that, and it's very expensive, but I don't think we will continue. The contract expires in 2011. And then the Nelson Mandela, I think I said already, yes, it wasn't. But what is important, next year, we have already a program for February. The 10th anniversary of the release of Mr.
Mandela. Your minute has expired.
I think I've said everything in any case what I wanted to say. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. I've promised you we want to close not later than 1 o'clock. Arts and culture and the department we do oversight on. I appreciate all the efforts of every South African towards nation building and social cohesion. On the issue of languages, you raised it, Honorable Member. Afrikaans and English, and then English. The indoctrination known to all of us under the apartheid linguistic regime simply declared the indigenous languages non-languages, and the humiliation and denigration of those languages have had a huge impact on the self-respect of our people, including respecting their culture. And by culture, we also mean a language. So if a few students who have been indoctrinated thoroughly come there and despise their language, we cannot take our marching orders from the attitude of indoctrinated students. I'm aware of people whose kids, they speak Zulu, Xhosa, Venda, Sotho, and they are very proud that their kid cannot speak Tsonga and Venda can only speak English. This is a subject of linguistic demons that we must really deal with and transform the mindset and the worldview. So even if 100% went there and ignored their language, the official policy of this government and the constitution is that all the 11 languages are official. I can speak English and several other languages, but if I find myself among African-speaking people, because I'm good in Afrikaans, I'll speak in Afrikaans, not to show off, but as a leader to be an example that all these languages are respected. So we'll expect you doing this great work you're already doing to address that issue in terms of policy, not in terms of attitudes by a few. That's where we'll stand. That's where we stand. It's not just we. It's where the constitution and the policies of the country stand. I'm personally very happy about the lot of good things you're doing, including 5 years unqualified statements. That's a huge success. And if we as a committee don't applaud you, then even those that are doing wrongly will not improve, because in the attitude of the committee there's no difference towards those who get disclaimers, qualified reports, and those who get clean reports. So I want to join you and say congratulations, keep it up. We can use you as a reference of those people who do well in this area. One person raised a question about racism. Whether it's racism or tribalism, you give it whatever name, or Nazism or apartheid. Well, we must engage those issues robustly, frankly, and honestly. I've also heard about complaints of racism in this thing. I don't even know whether my statistics are right or wrong. I'm told, and actions speak louder than words. People will follow us not largely because of our rhetoric, but largely because of what we do. They'll say, in the composition of staff, you have 51 male colored, 57 female, white 20 male, 32 female, Africans 28 male, 39 female, Indians, I think it's 1:1. It may be outdated statistic, but that's what you come across. And then they'll say foreigners, 4 male and 2 female. I have no problem if some of these people are there to assist you in your training program. You've said a lot about training and access, and I want to congratulate you on that, because education and training is one of the key 5 objectives for this 5 year term, according to the state of the nation and according to our manifesto. So you say transformation is very key to EZECO, and this transformation must address this issue. Remember the way we addressed it at the CODESA and the World Trade Center, when some people were scared that when a new government, democratic government, comes to power, all those bureaucrats and civil servants will be thrown into the ocean and into the street. So the sunset clauses, amongst others, address this issue. You want to say we will not be reckless, but we will not stop from transformation. And the agreement then is those who retire, those who die, they must make room for transformation. And that's where affirmative action comes in. So it's very, very critical that EZECO, as part of arts and culture, social cohesion, and nation building, must play that critical role here and address these issues as you actually walk into them. Thank you very much for the invitations. Again, as we said with the previous presentation, wherever you think we can assist, because sitting here and pointing fingers at you takes us nowhere. What's critical is how can we assist, how can we help? And we want you to feel and know that this portfolio committee is not there against you. It is there to assist you. I mean, after all, we can't create this thing and then undermine it and sabotage it. We must work together to assist the council, to assist your good selves, to achieve the good goals which you actually have set for yourselves. So if you've got challenges where you think we can help in monitoring, in oversight, in assisting to remind the department about their responsibilities, let us know. We'll try our very best. We shall not bite, but our gums sometimes are sharper than our teeth. You talked about videos and documentaries, that kind of thing. Because of this much work we have, sometimes a documentary can assist some of us to access that information that you have. Prof, is your time to go now, you told me. It's time for all of us to go. Thank you very much. You wanted to say something?
Yes, it's important for me what I want to say. I think this is the last time that I have the opportunity to address the Diversity Portfolio Committee. As Mr. Reza knows, over the past 5 years, it was an exciting experience. I will live a lot. That's why I want to this opportunity to thank all in the previous chairperson for having given me that great opportunity to build myself. And lastly, the challenge that I would like to ask you, help me to spread the truth about what I am doing and not lies. That I've got here members of the Park 40 Committee that think, fortunately, this is not about Robben Island, but that are lies in spread, introduced from a certain person. So please help me, question me as thoughtfully as you've done today, but in truth, and I expect of you not to do spring doctrine, but to help me. Thank you very much.
I can assure you this portfolio committee would live below its expectations by our people if we become one-sided. We must be able to listen to all the stories, sometimes to read the lies and the truth and half-lies, concoctions and all those other things. But we must be able to analyze them. I think the fact that you have been deployed at Iziko and also the work that you're doing at Robben Island, and it says a lot about the confidence of our people and our government in you. So if you're sleeping, nobody, a dog does not bark at a sleeping person. So when you're really waking, there'll be stories. Around all hardworking people, there'll be stories. Some correct, some false. That should not discourage you. Thank you for thanking the committee, but I'm not part of those who believe that we are seeing you for the last time. If not here, I want to believe that with all the talents and the skills that you have earned through hard work and God has given you, I can't see how we will not meet you again wherever and in whatever capacity. So we're not looking forward to your funeral. We look forward to interacting with you in the future. I don't mean physical funeral, I mean activity funeral. That's it. Honorable members, thank you very much. I wish you the best of the very best. This is, I think, unless something happens, this is the last sitting of this committee in this fourth parliament. We'll meet again in the new year. If things beyond my control happen and we have to meet, I'll actually do that. But to Iziko and also to Nelson Mandela Museum in the absence, we shall not invite you the way we did this time. I know, in fact, you were supposed to have been here last week and that kind of short notice. That's not how we want to treat you. We want to give you plenty of time. You are not small boys doing nothing. You have lots of things to do in your programs. You are responsible leaders. So when we invite you, we must give you plenty of space so that you feel respected by this parliament. We apologize for that inconvenience. We'll do better in the future. Thank you. Honorable members, finally, there's a draft program. I think we can release the rest, but there's nothing secret. There's a draft program for our workshop. You can collect this from the Secretary, Honorable Members. Go and look at it for a two-day workshop we want to have next year to prepare finally our five-year program. And then you look at it. You can submit inputs, email, in writing, in faxes, so that we can enrich this program. It's not the final word without your input. It's a working document. Thank you. You'll get them from him. Thank you very much.